Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Do you all have meals together at least once a day? I hope you do.
This is Focus on the Family Minute with Dr. Gary Chapman, sharing about something fun you can discuss with your family over dinner.
Imagine this, sitting around the table, and everybody in the, around the table gets to tell the family, one act of service I did today is, and they tell you something they did outside the family. Little Johnny says, well, today Susie dropped her pencil and the lead broke, and I picked it up and took it to the pencil sharpener and sharpened it for Susie. He's telling something he did today to serve somebody. And when he gets through, everybody around the table says, yay, Johnny!
Stop by FamilyMinute.org to hear more ideas from Dr. Chapman about enjoying time with your family.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
When it comes to sustainable energy systems and service, Central Coast residents trust Solarponics. Marilyn from Templeton says, quote, Solarponics installed our system almost 20 years ago. There are occasions when your system needs to be serviced. With Solarponics, work is completed quickly with knowledge and skill. This is as important a part of a solar company as the original installation. Thank you, Marilyn, for your Google review. When we install a sustainable energy system, we're installing a lifetime of as important service. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Attention Central Coast homeowners. Is your water heater over 7 years old? If so, replace it with a heat pump water heater before it fails and save thousands in energy costs. Plus, new rebates cover up to 80% of the cost. Call or click to get a free, no-hassle quote today. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Let's be honest, everyone hates putting up Christmas lights, so why not just skip it this year? The truth is, it's not about the lights. It's about creating the memories. It's about seeing the kids' faces light up and not spending all day hanging up lights. I'm Aaron King, the owner of Slow Holiday Lights. We handle everything you need to make this holiday season the most memorable yet. We design, install, maintain, and store the beautiful Christmas lights so you don't have to lift a finger. No ladders to fall off of, no tangled lights to mess with, no stress, period. Look us up at slowholidaylights.com.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
The Rest of the Story. Old Willie. That's what they came to call him in the little Eskimo village where he was born and lived much of his life. Old Willie the Storyteller. His full name was William Okilok. He came into the frozen world in 1897 with a special talent, as everyone knew, to collect and recollect the legends of the people of Alaska's Seward Peninsula. And there was one story in particular that made the youngster's eyes grow wide. It was the tale of the summer that never came. Many long years ago, the story began, in the village of Sinrup, by the Western Sea, there was an old woman named Nasaruk and her granddaughter Panhiruk. Neither hunted for food, as hunting was the duty of men. So these two women who lived alone gathered plants and leaves all through the brief growing seasons, and they put them in poke bags for the hard winters to come. And then one springtime, just as the birds were returning and the snow was melting and the river waters were beginning to run, the northern sky grew dark. And a cold wind blew, and a heavy snow began to fall. It was suddenly winter again. Through the interminable months that followed, Nasaruk and Panhiruk lived on the food that they had stored, even the skin from a sealskin boat. And when spring returned at last, they left their snowbound house. But as they visited the other houses in the village, they found the frozen bodies of the women and began to realize that no one else had survived. The brave hunters and their families all had starved. Now, that tale old Willie had learned at the feet of his grandfather when the 20th century was young. The story was already more than 100 years old, a fable most believed that once upon an olden time, Summer herself frowned and turned her face from the North Country, and the few who survived begat the Eskimos of today. And there were witnesses to the presumed legend. I said there were witnesses to the presumed legend. Observers who had lived in that olden time and lived to tell. Their testimony was unknown to old Willie the storyteller, unheard by author Laurel Bland, who set out in a 14-foot wooden boat in September of 1970 to explore the mythology of the Alaskan Eskimos. For more than a year, Bland and old Willie himself labored to record those timeless tall tales for posterity. And then in January of 1972, the day after that book was completed, Willie Okeluk lay down to take a nap, and he is sleeping still. Yet one of his stories, the story of the summer that never came, was proved real and true by witnesses testifying in a laboratory in Columbia University, by silent storytellers who were there in June of 1783 following the volcanic eruption in Iceland that spit tons of sulfur gas high into the northern sky, the dust clouds that altered the weather and stole the summer. Now, before today, you'd never heard old Willie's most fascinating fable, but from this day on, you'll never forget, nor its proof that there were witnesses. Ancient trees standing in western Alaska in 1783 produced dramatically incomplete growth rings corresponding with that very year that winter came twice. Of course, old Willie told us so, but now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local, reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veeley. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. I'm going to go over, we had a really busy news week this week already. For those that don't know, there are steelhead trout in the Arroyo Grande Creek that comes off of Lopez Lake. There are environmentalists that want way more water given to the fishes that would leave some of the cities down there without enough water and take away water for firefighting. The county fought it, and you've got to understand, they do a fish check every year, and there's usually anywhere from 2 to 4 steelhead trout in that creek. So the county filed a couple environmental groups got an order to give more water. The county filed an appeal claiming this was going to keep us from having enough water for Cal Fire, blah, blah, blah. Well, the appellate court ruled yesterday, and they kind of ignored what the county said. And instead, they said, wait a minute, you have a frog and some other reptile, and they're there too. And the excess water could actually hurt them. And you don't get to say, we're going to protect the salmon and hurt these other two endangered species, but we're going to put a pause on this. Not a pause. We're going to accept the appeal, send it back to the trial court based on the other endangered species. Here's the problem. You have to. So I'll give you Oceano, where the Oceano Off-Road Vehicle Park. They're in trouble a little bit right now. They lost a lawsuit because a couple snowy plovers were hit over a long period of time. And they were saying, wait a minute, we have a snowy plover program. We've tripled the population with what we're doing. That doesn't matter. If you're going to even hit one plover with a car, you have to say file for a taking under the act, the Species Act. I can't think of the first word of it. But you have to file for that. And the dunes, the state never did. The state has now filed for it. The worst thing that can happen is it takes a little long and it's closed for about a month or so. The odd thing here is the county filed for the, to be able to, they didn't file for that letter to be able to have some damage because Bruce Gibson and a couple others said, no, we don't want to do that. The environmentalists do not want us doing a taking. But at this point, they all, every one of them, do not want to lose the water of Lopez Lake to go into the ocean for five salmon, for or steelhead trout, I mean, for five steelhead trout. Or last year, there were two. And because of that, it is, I think they're going to probably bring it back because in this appeal opinion, they literally say that the county has not applied for that. So it's going to go back to the judge. If the county applies, they can probably protect that water source. The other thing I want to talk about quick, there's two other things. Slo County Supervisor Gibson has rebrought his wife back into his office as his assistant. And the other big news is we had another murder in the county last month. There was a man murdered on Highway 166. They believe he was shot there right on the road near Napomo. And they did arrest a man for the murder. They didn't arrest a man for the murder. They believe two brothers committed the murder. One brother committed the murder, and the other brother assisted. The one brother is on the run. They cannot find him. The other brother has been arrested and is over in the San Luis Obispo County Jail. His name, the suspected murderer is Angel Francisco Angel Santiago. The accessory was Abel Angel Santiago. Abel is in jail, and the feds, ICE has put a detainer. The allegations is both men are here illegally from Mexico. So there's been a lot of big news. We usually in this county only have anywhere from zero to three murders. Murders are not a common occurrence in this county. But today on the show, we have Atascadero Councilman Seth Peake. He's only been on the board for 11 months.
The council.
I'm in the council. And we are asking, you know, how this is working. One of the things that a lot of people have frustration about is all the rules by the FPPC and rules about your social media accounts. How are you handling this part of the job?
Yeah, you have to be nimble. In the beginning, I was trying to learn all the different, you know, asking a lot of, like Laura Christensen, she's very smart with the FPPC. She's the assistant city manager. And asking Dave Fleischman, our attorney, like advice on what I should do. He's very conservative with making sure that I'm, you know, getting the most information of what his recommendation would be. So I get a lot of that in terms of publicity because I do a lot of social media. I do a lot of business promotion or I'll talk about what's happening in town or I'll make videos about, you know, businesses that are coming to town or something that's happening citywide or chamber of commerce. And so I wanted to make sure what I do is correct. And so learning how to do all that, and I've just come to the understanding that, you know, you just, if you're gonna put some political stuff on your other pages, then be fully above board and don't delete any comments, don't block any people, don't, everybody can see everything and it's all hunky-dory from there.
You but, can take down nasty okay. You can take down things that are sexualizing people or cursing, though, right?
Well, I would never do anything like that without first consulting with our city attorney and with the FPPC themselves, because I don't like to silence free speech in general, and so even if it's something that's against me, I haven't got a lot of that in terms of comments. Some of it, a little bit here and there, but not a lot. And so I just assume leave it there. And if somebody else is offended by it, you know, maybe then I would ask the attorney to check it out. But the rule of thumb is just, you know, everything's free and open, free speech. Anybody can say comments or whatever. And I generally, you know, I'm putting positive things generally, news about town or business news, or it's, yeah, I'm not a reporter like you are, Karen. I'm just giving
there, my there are times, for example, yeah. We had a principal here in Paso Robles
yeah.
that was caught drinking on the job,
mm-hmm.
or allegedly caught drinking on the job.
Recently.
Or, yes. Or not drinking on the job, but drunk at the job. She called me.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, your article's on us. I'm good with your article. Can you please go to your Facebook page and take out these comments? And they were all about having sex with her.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very inappropriate. And I took them down.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're degrading women over sex, or there's certain things that I will not, racial comments.
But you're not an elected
sexual
official.
I think even if I was, there's certain things that are just,
sure.
I think, abhorrent. But I don't know what the rules are. But we have a caller.
Okay.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask Seth today?
Well, I got in late on your discussion last hour about the zoo,
mm-hmm.
and so I'm unclear as to why the name change would have anything to do with finances.
Well, the name change was part of a plan to boost the zoo's revenue, and so when I was elected into it, the process had already started, and the name change was a byproduct of the process to rebrand the zoo.
But wasn't it also the accreditation group said they didn't want a name on it?
Well, the Zoological Society, from my understanding, and I'm not in the background of the zoo renaming and marketing of it for years, is that the Zoological Society was recommending the name change along with a lot of other things in order to keep our accreditation.
Because they didn't want someone's name on the zoo? Is that it? No, what's it going to be called?
Well, it's called the Central Coast Zoo.
Okay, it is already.
Yes.
And
Charles Paddock is still the statues there, and it's Charles Paddock Plaza, Central Coast Zoo. And then I think they're incorporating Central Coast Zoo and Atascadero on a lot of publications now. Some of the marketing is including the word Atascadero. And but yeah, it's the Central Coast Zoo officially.
So, and this was a financial consideration because?
Well, the root of it is the zoo operates at a massive deficit, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars out of the taxpayer. It doesn't make the money that needs to sustain itself. So I think the name change was a byproduct of trying to get the zoo solvent so we didn't possibly have to close the zoo. Or, you know, it's not a...
Seth explained earlier that when you get accreditation, they give you grants, they give you money to operate, and they help you pay for certain things. And
or you can have certain animals.
Yeah.
But it's also in the zoological, in the board accreditation process, they don't want elected officials to be in charge of operational decisions of a zoo that's owned by a city. It's one of their recommendations as the person that holds the accreditation. So the actual city council itself having a say in exactly what the zoo is going to be called and exactly how it's going to be operated is not something that is recommended by the Zoological Society. So a lot of that was done by city staff and, you know, over, I think, more than a year in terms of just the background.
I'm really dense. I still have no clue as to why a name change would have precluded any of your other actions.
Well, I think that
how the zoo can be self-supporting, just given another name, as opposed to belonging to the city. If it's not making money, it's not going to make money for the county or whoever it belongs to at that point.
It's actually improving. The revenue has been improving since the summer.
Because of the name change?
Marketing, name change, reaching more people. I think the name change itself, I think the reason why they chose the Central Coast Zoo is just for easy searchability and people are in the area, they're vacationing in Pismo Beach. That was the reason why the Central Coast Zoo was the most hit thing when you're looking at keywords on Google and other search engines for this area. A lot of things that are named the Central Coast, they just get more traffic than if you have a person's
All right.
name.
Well, now that makes some sense. I can understand that.
But like I said, I'm...
I always thought it was
apologies.
Funny that
Go ahead.
They named it after Charles Paddock anyway, though he was the one that started it, right? Historically?
Yeah, yeah. The history of it, I mean, I'm like I said earlier in the show, I've been here since 2012. I like history. I learned a lot about it, but I don't have as much of the context of the you know, how the zoo started. It's more recent. I didn't even realize until a couple of years ago that the city actually owned the zoo. It's not a wise decision, business decision, in my opinion, for the city to own something that loses so much money every year. But here we are. So while I see people that are upset with the name change, I really think that, you know, the legacy's not gone. The statue's there. It was called Charles Paddock Plaza. I think we're just trying to get the zoo more solvent. And so they chose the name Central Coast Zoo because it made most sense marketing. And a lot of people disagree with that. I'm not saying they can't disagree with that, but that's just the way it is. And that's the way, that's how the decision was made. It was never, right. It was never to blot out someone's name.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for calling in. There people are concerned with this. What was the vote in the end to change the name?
We didn't vote on it. It's not our position to do it.
Okay.
City Council's not the one sitting there saying this is the name we're deciding on today. It's we direct staff to make good financial decisions. We direct staff to use money in certain ways and to allocate it certain ways for the zoo. And we gave direction saying we need to revitalize the marketing of the zoo. And when I say we, a lot of it was before I was elected, but I do support their efforts in the spring to make sure that we don't keep taking tax dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year that could be used for other important things around town to throw at a zoo that's not producing the income. So,
and there's a big change right now.
I encourage people to reflect on how often they've gone to the zoo in the past 10 years. You know, and maybe go support the zoo. You know, it's not, nothing has changed except for the sign out front and how it's on the website. You know, the zoo is in fact the same, still has all the same qualities, and it's actually improving, like we talked about in the last hour. And I think that there's a bright future for the zoo. I don't want to keep funding it for years and years and years with money that could be used for infrastructure, public safety.
We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and be back with more with Seth Peek.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
A choppy trading session with the major averages finishing mixed as investors digested fresh mixed labor market signals for a possible Fed rate cut next week. New data showed an unexpected drop in weekly jobless claims, which hit a three-year low during the Thanksgiving week. However, employers announced over 71,000 layoffs last month, according to a report from the global outplacement firm Challenger Gray and Christmas. In the meantime, investors tread carefully ahead of Friday's September personal consumption expenditures report, the Fed's preferred inflation gauge. The reading would be the first PCE readout since the recent government shutdown. The Dow winners, Caterpillar, Salesforce, and IBM. The Dow decliners, United Health, Amgen, and Home Depot. The Dow down 32 points, the Nasdaq higher by 51, S&P 500 up 7. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
If a Lenovo computer for your business is on your holiday list, don't shop around. Just go directly to the source, Lenovo.com. It's your last chance to get exclusive deals on the PCs you want for your business, like the ThinkPad X9 14 Aura Edition and Yoga 7i 2-in-1. So avoid all that shopping chaos and price comparing, and just go directly to the source, Lenovo.com, where PCs are up to 35% off. That's Lenovo.com. Lenovo.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
The city of Atascadero kicks off their holiday season with the Light Up the Downtown's Garden Lights and Winter Nights, making the Sunken Gardens area sparkle. This Friday, from 5:30 to 8 p.m., enjoy community entertainment, Santa, complimentary horse-drawn hay rides, hot chocolate, and more. The event begins in the Sunken Gardens and continues throughout the downtown with a holiday sip and shop. Shops will be open late, and wine and beer tastings will be available for participating merchants. For more info, go to visitatascadero.com.
We see you sitting there, daydreaming about a place where infinite horizons mean more freedom. Well, at Chumash Casino Resort, we're giving away over $500,000 in cash and prizes. Everything you need to find yourself elsewhere. Drawing Sundays in December. Need more details? Visit ChumashCasino.com. And hey, welcome to freedom. Must be present to win. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealy, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. Today I have Atascadero Councilman Seth Peake. We are talking about a number of different topics with the city. Now, Seth, this is your first general plan amendment. How's that going, and what are the important issues?
Well, the general plan updates, they do one every 20 years. So this one's called 2045. So it's essentially 2025 to 2045. It's been in the works for, I would say, 3 to 4 years. I got kind of involved with it when it started having public workshops in 2021. 2022, I think, was the first time I started getting with public input workshops and graphics.
Is that part of the reason you ran? You wanted to be more involved?
No, that was more interested just in general, because I'm in real estate. I have a painting contracting company. You know, just the different things that I do. Just more interested in how the city's being planned out, you know, the roadmap for the next 20 years. So the general plan is you can go to Atascadero2045.org. So Atascadero2045.org, and you can see all the lengthy documents and the charts and rezonings planned for Atascadero. And it's been quite a process, and I think that late winter, early spring, we might have a finalized plan.
And are there any interesting changes in the plan?
I think the most interesting to me is going to be some of the more traditional commercial service or commercial retail. So things that, like, right now are, if you can think of, like, Kennedy Fitness Center, going all the way down to, like, the grocery outlet. That whole left side of El Camino Real is commercial park. It's commercial park, commercial service, different things like that. So a lot of zones like that are being rezoned, what we call Innovation Flex. So you could have a retail shop next to a coffee shop, next to a wood shop, next to a maker of some sort. So you might have a welding contractor in the back that stores his materials and has a walk-up storefront office. And then in the same complex, you could have a winemaker. So more flexible in terms of not having as many people need to get CUPs, which are conditional use permits, to operate business. So being more business friendly, the Innovation Flex zones are going to make it easier to operate varying businesses in certain corridors. And so you're going to have that along, like, that side of El Camino Real. You'll see it a lot more down kind of between Kerberil and Vaughn's on the west side of El Camino Real, a lot of that being rezoned Innovation Flex. So I think that's probably the most interesting new zone that's being built into the new general plan. We did have a lot of public input over the last year as well, a couple different workshops and public meetups. And one community in particular came out and voiced their concern that their neighboring parcels were being zoned to a multifamily, more higher density multifamily. That was a concern to them, being more larger parcels up against potential, you know, mid-range apartment buildings. So the council took that feedback to heart, and we kind of redirected some different areas away from much higher density residential. So we could have some buffer zones. So we were still in the process till about a month ago, kind of still giving staff direction on how we see and how we hear the public giving feedback on certain parts of the map. But there's going to be a lot of The map itself, in the grand scheme of things, is not going to look wildly different, but some of the designations will be slightly different in terms of the commercial use. And then keep in mind, someone would have to sell their property, or if somebody had a commercial property now and they, you know, 15 years from now, they finally sell it, and then somebody takes down the building and puts up a new mixed-use commercial or innovation flex zone, it's all at the whim of the property owner. So this doesn't mean if the map changes that all these areas all of a sudden overnight are going to be, you know, with building in California. Mm-hmm. It could take 5 years to get approval to get to build something. So it's quite interesting, though, to being here my first year on council and being part of such a big decision is pretty, it's tantamount.
And let's talk about one of the biggest development areas has been the Del Rio interchange.
My new favorite grocery store, Valley Fresh. Although I don't go there for everything, because some things are quite a bit more pricey than others. But it's a very convenient location for me. It's kind of a mix between a Vons and like a Sprouts. If you know what a Sprouts is like, it's like kind of, there might be some nichier products there, some organic stuff. And then it has regular groceries too. And then it has a hot bar and a deli and a sushi counter, which is a crazy thing to think in Atascadero. You could go in and get fresh rolled sushi on the go.
Oh, they make it for you when you walk up?
And, well, they don't make it for you, but they make it every hour. They're making more and more sushi, and it's a very popular item there. But Valley Fresh is owned by the same people that own the Valley Fresh in Solvang. And I think they possibly own a couple other grocery stores down in Ventura County. I don't quote me on that. But the Valley Fresh is a pretty cool area. That whole Del Rio like interchange, that whole area down there is kind of bustling. As people see, there's still construction. They're building those mixed-use buildings right now in that commercial plaza. So the buildings on the left are actually mixed-use. Those residential up above, they're 2- and 3-story buildings. And then down below, there'll be retail offices, I think mostly retail, and maybe food and retail down there. And then on the right of this grocery store, there's a 10,000 square foot building going in there that's going to be a learning experience, which is a company that has daycare and child care.
That's important. There's been a major shortage throughout the state.
We have a major shortage in our town as well, and so it'll be a big facility. And you can look it up. They exist in, I think they exist in other states like Texas, and they might have them in the Valley here too. It's called the Learning Experience.
And what is this going to be? Child care from infancy to 5 years old, or what is this going to be?
I do not know. Yeah, it's child care, it's daycare, but I'm not sure exactly the ages.
And it's a large facility, though.
To my understanding, it's north of 9,000 square feet. It's around 10. It's a big pad. It's the big empty pad on Del Rio, to the right side of the grocery store on Del Rio. So that's very exciting. Across the freeway, we have Barrel Creek that'll be going in. That's pretty much on its way through.
And what is Barrel Creek?
It's going to be mixed use. There'll be some, I think, to my understanding, some residential, maybe some a smaller little hotel, maybe a restaurant or two, maybe a shop or two, or maybe, you know, something like that. But it's the corner of Del Rio and the 101 on the northwest corner. There's a Quonset hut right there right now. That's about it on the empty lot. So that's what's all happening down there. And eventually the RV camping is going to go in on the other corner back on El Camino Real. And just a lot of interesting things happening down there on that end of town. And then the Chick-fil-A down by Home Depot. That was the big news. Big news to get a Chick-fil-A too. They're not easy to come by for cities to get. But a lot of people have been excited about it. It's not always my bag. I don't eat a lot of junk food and fast food, but it's a very popular item.
And what other businesses have come in this year?
Well, there's a lot of development going in, and I know that downtown there's been some remodeling going on some of the downtown buildings, and the Garden City's up and coming in the spring. That's going to be like a general store where the Century 21, Peabody and Plum, then Century 21 was.
Yes.
And they're remodeling that building, which used to be a bank, right? So there's a big vault in the back. It's an interesting building. So they're remodeling the whole inside and the facade of it, so the entrance will be from El Camino.
Did they close?
Century 21?
Peabody and Plum.
Oh, yeah. They sold to Century 21.
Okay.
Years ago. I mean, maybe 10 years. I don't know exactly when, but my wife was originally a realtor with Century 21 at that office before We were agents at the Coast, and then now we have Peak Realty. But she started there at that office with Dave McNamara was her branch manager. But that's now going to be Garden City. It's a general store. It's going to have purveyor. They're going to have plants, flowers, maybe cheeses, meats, maybe some light produce, some greeting cards, local art. Anything you can imagine in a general store plus some food.
That's a great spot for that. Yeah. That wasn't a great spot for a... Maybe it was a good spot for a real estate agency, but it's right next to the park.
But the city...
It would be better to have it for the... You had a lot of traffic there. You had...
Yeah, you could have a kid go in there after school, walking through the tunnel, coming from junior high, go in there and get a soda pop or get a, a bottle of water, get a candy bar. Someone working downtown can walk over there, potentially. I'm not sure exactly what they're going to have, but maybe a prepackaged salad or, something to go for lunch. So it's going to be an interesting... The family that's starting that, the Nearings, are really great people. And they're doing great things. I've seen some concept photos and what they're doing there, and it's pretty awesome. And then Clint Weirich's project down by City Hall. It's a centennial bridge. Goes over to the Chamber of Commerce, over to the movie theater. There's two plots right there, and he's building there's going to be a restaurant space on the bottom, maybe a bakery or something, and then six long-term apartments upstairs. So no Airbnbs, it'll be apartments, to my understanding, upstairs. We're seeing a trend more that way too, the mixed use, especially in downtown.
Is Clint Weirich related to David Weirich?
I don't know. Okay. But Weirich Lumber. Yeah.
And then the other thing I want to bring up, the Slow Cog, I found out today that they're going to be pushing their increased tax again.
More taxes.
And they want, for those that don't know, they try it about every year, and they want to have more taxes in the county through them. One of the things they're trying to do now is get the cities to approve it, saying, hey, we'll give you a chunk of the tax we get if you guys will all bring this in.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the new attempt to get more slow cog tax?
I'm against it. So we have the slow cog, the positive of it, if everything was like as it seems and everything was perfect and everything would actually stay in our community, be like freeway on ramps, fixing the corridors that Caltrans, that the state and the city interface like together with. But we just had a increase on L24 last year to make sure that we can keep our road maintenance program up, and we already have a bunch of roads in town that aren't city maintained, so we're able to keep that that measure going, so that way we can keep improving our roads, and we are doing that. And I think a lot of people see that we are constantly fixing roads now with this new extension, and I just don't think it's fair keep raising taxes for transportation and roads when I really think the state should be, in my personal opinion, taking more. It's their highway, it's their on ramp, it's their artery. So I just don't. This would be something that'd be on top of the max the city could charge. So if the city still has some room to increase taxes, if we had a need for that within our city, why give more? We want to keep that for ourselves. I don't want to raise any more taxes on the people of Atascadero. And this would make it to where you could even go more. So if a city wanted to max out and then add this slow cog tax, they could be in 10 to 11% on their sales tax. I'm just not against. I'm against raising more taxes in general, especially since we just did a measure for roads. But ours, D20 and the road, the L24, they're actually... You can see the results around you. You have more police, you have more fire, you have better dispatch. Everything's working the way it's supposed to with D20. And then now with L24, a road maintenance schedule has been chugging along. And people, you can see the improvements around town.
And one of the things that you have the parallel parking going down the main drag over there by the Carlton. Before the Carlton, along that area, you had the parallel parking along.
Parallel parking, like on the curb?
No, in the middle of the street.
Oh, okay. The diagonal parking. Yeah. The diagonal parking.
Or not parallel. Yeah, I'm sorry. Diagonal. Yes. No wonder you were looking at me like, don't know what you're talking about. I'm sorry. As I actually think it looks much better. How is that working out? Are there less accidents?
I haven't seen any reports, so I can't speak to less or more accidents. Traffic is a lot slower through downtown, and that's by design. You know, the crosswalks where the kids are walking actually has a button now, so they can't just stream across. Whether or not they do a lot less, in my opinion, driving there quite often. I make it a habit when I go through town, I don't get on the highway. I take El Camino everywhere I go because I like to see town, but I also like to see people, and I'd like to take a little slower route. And it takes me 3 minutes to go from 41 to Traffic Way on a busy day. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon when the middle school and the high school are getting out. Stay away from downtown. Simple as that. But we could talk more about this after the break, but it's...
That's the same thing with schools when everybody picks up. Yeah. We're going to take a break from our sponsors and have one last segment with Seth Peek.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online. DeltaLiquidEnergy.com.
We're here to help. At Peak Painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peek Painting at peekpainting.com.
Time for Mattress Talk with Rich London.
Got them with springs underneath, with latex on it, memory foam, you name it, I've got them in here. I've got them all on special prices, and of course I still have some of my closeout models too. But I've even got adjustable bases, Jerry. So whatever model bed you like, we can make it where you get your legs up so you don't get the swelling in your legs. You can get your back up, take the pressure off your back, and just give you comfort at the same time.
And Paso Robles, the mattress specialist, is at 13th and Riverside.
Attention! At K. John's Jewelry Company, everything must go. Rings, necklaces, bracelets, earrings, possibly even Fred's leftover lunch in the break room. We're clearing it all out. Bring your wallets. Bring your friends. Bring snacks. This is not a drill. We're clearing out all our designer jewelry to make room for our brand new, totally original K. John's designs in the coming year. That's right. All our beloved designer pieces at true liquidation prices as a thank you to the community that supported us for generations. Wait. Real discounts, you may ask? Not ho-ho holiday markups disguised as deals? Nope. Real discounts. December 2nd through Christmas Eve, K. John's Jewelry Company, where we've always priced fairly, but now we're pricing fairly ridiculously.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vili, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. Today, I've had Seth Peek on the show. He is an Atascadero councilman. Now, you have an event coming up. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, this weekend we have Light Up the Downtown Friday night at 5:30 to 6. Around 6 o'clock, we light all the lights on the pine trees and the cedar trees out front, and the city hall lights up. That's a great time with singing, and Santa will be there. And the next day, Wildfields Brewery, my wife and I's company, is hosting Santa again to benefit the honor flight at Wildfields Brewery from 11 to 1. So come get some free pictures with your kids. And then Saturday night, we're doing the singing at the lake. So the city council will be handing out cookies with the Public Works Department. And people will walk around the lake. Lots of different sponsors around the lake. And you can get some hot chocolate and some cookies from the city. And lots of other things to do. Lots of songs to sing and people to see. So this weekend's chock full with Christmas stuff.
We've got multiple callers.
Yeah, multiple.
They always do this at the end. Not always, but I've noticed this in the past. Welcome to Sound Off. What do you want to ask Seth today?
Yeah, just whose idea it was to mess up El Camino Real from just north of Traffic Way to out front of the Sunken Gardens with black poles that I thought was going to have streetlight heads on them. Instead, they just anchor cables that run it crisscross over the street, eliminate a lane on each side down to a tight lane on each side that has to watch out for cars that are parked in the middle trying to back out into the lane into oncoming traffic. Looks like they took us back about 80 years.
Well, I can't speak to the individual who designed it, but all that decision-making was done years ago, a few years ago. The black poles in general, sir, I can speak to that. A lot of the trees that are planted in the middle are expected to grow up. And so the lights hanging from the wire down in the middle where the design is to where they can be seen. The lights aren't going to be obstructed by the trees as they grow taller than the poles. So the idea is that most of those poles will be relatively invisible once the canopy grows over the street.
I've heard from people who avoid that area now just because of the difficulty and danger of trying to drive through there with cars parked on both sides in the middle that have to back out into oncoming traffic, and it's kind of crazy.
Yes, sir. I've heard both sides. I hear people that really like it, and I hear people that don't care for it.
Thank you very much for calling in. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask Seth today?
Hi. You were talking about the zoo name change earlier. I just wanted to go down and say that I'm totally opposed to the new name. I don't agree with the premise that it was put up for public review. As far as I know, everybody I know, it was a huge surprise when it happened. The sign was just quickly slapped up there, and when people voiced concerns that they didn't know anything about this, it was just met with an attitude of, well, it's done, this is the way it is, and that's the way it's going to be.
Yeah, and I apologize to people at public comment that night. You know, I've been doing this for a year now, and so I apologize if that was the perception. I don't want anybody to think they don't have a voice. So if anything's involved with me in the future, I'm happy to get more and more public comment and see what we can do to. But
it's not directed. Sorry, it's not directed at you personally. It's just the council in general. And I know consultants were supposedly brought in, but consultants aren't always right, and you have to go with what the community wants, not what consultants, when they talk about search engines and things like that. It was really a big part of our identity as a town. Mm-hmm. We were really proud of our zoo, so we felt like we lost it.
Well, I appreciate your call. I mean, beyond that, I don't have any other remarks.
Okay.
Thank you very much for calling in. And I have, as a reporter, I've done this for quite a long time. Mm. And for some reason, name changes often really upset people.
Yeah, I can see why, especially if you're from the area. And I didn't have as much of a reaction to it when they were talking about doing it. And like I said, it was brought up just a couple months after I was elected. So it was a new thing to me, but I didn't think it was going to be. And I apologize for not thinking it was going to be as big of an upset as it was, and that people felt like they didn't have a voice. That's not always the best sentiment to have, you know. So
you're going to notice. I've noticed when I think something is no big deal, and then people are upset about it. You're never going to know all the time what is really going to rile the community. I do want to ask you: are people treating you different? Do you notice more people kind of wanting to be around you now that you're a city councilman? I know that some people do get a little bit of the
I'm pleasantly surprised that when I tell people I'm their city council person, they don't know, because I think that's kind of, it means that we're not, there's not a lot of, you know, there's not a lot of drama, or maybe I'm not doing something to make a lot of people upset. But people are generally polite. And I think that my involvement with business, the Rotary Club, I was the president of the Rotary Club the previous year before, and I was involved with the chamber. I'm a member of the chamber with three different businesses, and I tend to go to a lot of mixers. I see a lot of people in town, and I introduce myself when I can. And so I think a lot of people potentially already maybe knew me by face. It wasn't that big of a stark change. But the funny one is that some people are like in city staff, or some people that I've met, I quickly correct them. They call me Mr. Peak, and I'm like, I'm Seth. I don't. I'm not that serious to, you know, have random strangers call me Mr. Peak. But if they feel endeared to do so, but that, I don't see a big change in terms of how people treat me, because I didn't interact with the city staff a whole lot beforehand. It feels like the chain of command is there, and they respect my position. But I don't have anybody kissing my rear end, if that's what you mean.
And I wouldn't think city staff. I just know that you get into a position like this, and suddenly you're at all the events that you're invited to, all the parties. Yeah. People want to go to dinner with you to talk to you about projects. And
yeah, I won't do that. I generally won't do that. I'd rather not go to dinner on my own time to talk more about the city. I'll meet people for coffee. I'll grab a sandwich with them, and we'll get breakfast, but there's a divide, and I do a lot of business, and so I have to balance my life, because the city, sometimes it could be 20 hours of work a week, sometimes it could be 5 hours of work a week. It just depends on the load, the meetings, and how much reading there is to do, or meetings there are to do. So you have to have that balance, but I do a lot of business in town, and I respect a lot of other business owners, and I think I get along with most people that I come in contact with, whether we agree politically or not. It's irrelevant.
Is the time what you thought it would be, or is it more or less?
The time?
That it takes to be a city councilman.
No, it's pretty much what I expected. You know, some, like I said, some weeks you have a couple committees, you have city council. Sometimes city council runs 5 hours, 4 hours. Sometimes it's two. I think five was maybe the most close to it.
Do you have a lot of reading to do beforehand?
Yeah, there's a lot of reading, but you also have, you know, consulting with the staff and with the attorney if you have questions about the readings. And you know, a lot of the figures are just, they could be a lot of charts, and but there is quite a bit of reading, but that's to be expected as well. I hope people realize that, you know, their city council is actually reading what's coming in front of them and trying to understand it before they make a decision on it.
And I will tell you, that's not consistent. I have, as a reporter who has sat through so many city council meetings, it's over the top. There are people. Christina Mulholland was a city councilwoman in SLO for probably a decade. And that woman had read every document. She would ask intense questions. She was very, very good. And then I've had city council members that I've said afterwards, why did you vote like that when it said this? Well, I have children. I don't read the whole thing. So it's not the same from council person to council person.
Yeah, I can just, all I can do is keep my side of the street as clean as I can and do my part, and I think that's my goal every day when I wake up. Who can I help in business or in service through town, through my Rotary Club, or through just people I meet at my gym? Or that's what life's all about. And so having this position is rewarding, and at the same time it can be a lot of work, and some weeks it can be a little bit of work. So to take it as it comes. Looking forward to 2026 and wrapping up the general plan and moving on to our next big project. We're going to start demolishing the fire station one to build a new fire station. And that's going to be probably the biggest change in town, but it's much needed. And there's a lot of improvements that need to be made there.
Where is fire station one?
It's on Traffic Way before the Performing Arts Academy. You just go past like the last store. I think there's a chiropractic office, and I guess Lewis Avenue. Yeah, Lewis Avenue and Traffic Way. I'm trying to get Palma and Lewis mixed up sometimes.
So it's close to El Camino Real.
It's a block and a half, two blocks away. Yeah, yeah. But it's going to stay there. It's just getting a new station's being put there in its stead.
And I want to, one last time, tell us before we get off, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Where is the Santa Claus event again?
But Wildfields Brewery from 11 to 1 p.m. On Saturday. It's free for all. Just come get some pictures with Santa. No catch.
And thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com. Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.